praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Rest here now, Lord, and speak to us through your word, Father. We desire that. We hunger and thirst for it. And you said that if we hunger and thirst, we shall be satisfied. Satisfy this morning, Lord. Satisfy us this morning, Lord, as we minister and be ministered to. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Why don't you go ahead and open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 14 as we continue to go through the Word of God and systematically and just hear what God has to say this morning. You know, may God speak to your hearts as the Word is being taught, and may you take it and apply it to your life. And I love hearing the Word of God whenever anybody shares it. I'm always trying to picture, okay, how could I apply that to my life? Where does that fit into my life? I want to use that. That's my life there. That's who we are. And Brother Mikey was reminding me here, you know, when we used to be in high school and went to the high school together in San Diego High and didn't even like each other. And he would always try to beat me up and take my lunch money. And, yeah. And so we didn't like each other, but look at now. We're serving together. That's God. He said it's God.
That's God.
Only God can do something like that.
Amen.
Because God changes. And when we come into God's presence, whenever we come into the Word of God, we never leave the same. And I pray for you guys. Every morning I'm always praying, Lord, please, when we walk into the sanctuary, we come into the holies of God here, this is our upper room. May we leave not the same way we came in. May we be different. I want to be different. I don't want to come in the same way. I want to come in healed and excited. And so let the Word of God do that to you this morning. Even if it seems maybe negative or whatever is being taught, you know, a lot of times, that's too negative or that's too harsh or whatever. That's God. There's a reason why it's that way, because God wants changes from the inside out. So let's look to the Word. Acts chapter 14, look at verse 1. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bear witnessing to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitudes of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to abuse and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia. There we go, Lycaonia. Aware of it, and they fled and to the surrounding regions, and they were preaching the gospel there. Now, I'm going to stop here because I really want to point out some things in these six verses. But let's recap here. Remember, Paul and Barnabas, they started from over there in Palestine. So, again, I want to try to give you a visual here because that's how I like to do it. I like to kind of, I pull out my spiritual Bible map here. You know, you have yours, you just put it in front of you. You kind of picture how it was back then. And so you got Israel here, and this is what, it was all considered Palestine. And from here, they went in a boat, and here was this little island of Cyprus, an island. And they went into this island here, and from that island of Cyprus, they came to taking the gospel to parts of Asia Minor. Now, they headed north up from this island. They went up, and today is modern-day Turkey, obviously. But they went to Pamphylia right here. So just kind of picture it, Pamphylia. And then from there, they went up into Antioch, so they went north. And now they're heading, southwest, this way. So from here to here to here to here, now they're heading in this direction to Iconium. So that's the map. I just showed you my Bible map, okay? That's how I do it. And so from Cyprus, it came to the coastline of Pamphylia up here to the city of Perga. Now, they didn't stay there long, obviously, as we were looking at in chapter 30. I got a choky throat. I'm still dealing with a cough, so I can feel it every time my throat starts to itchy. Then I get that coughing spasm. So I have a cough drop, so if you hear me slurring or whatever, it's the cough drop. Hopefully I don't shoot it out, though, because I've done that when I get too excited. Anyway, so when they came to the coast of Pamphylia. But we were told, because Paul became sick and possibly catching malaria, because at that time it was very prevalent around the coast plains of Pamphylia at that time, because it was a lot of marsh lands and water and a lot of insects and mosquitoes. And so it was very common malaria back then. And so we were told that Paul became sick. In fact, he wrote that in the book of Galatians, because Galatia was up there where Turkey was. And so he wrote to the church there and sharing how he was very sick when he was over there. And so they didn't stay long there on the coast. And what they did is they headed inland towards Antioch to higher ground, to the city of Antioch. And there, the minute they went to Antioch, they went right into the synagogue and they started to preach about the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And, you know, and I think about that just like today, as we preach the gospel, as they were preaching the gospel, there's always this response of the people when they hear the word of God. And there's three major responses, and it's just like today, no difference than today. What happened was when they were preaching in Antioch, there was those who wanted to put it off. They didn't want to hear it right now. They'd say, hey, you know what? We're done, but we'll hear next week, because that's what he said in chapter 30. At the end of chapter 30, they were saying, "We come back next week, and we'll hear it." So there's that response of putting it off, and then there's the response of those who wanted to hear more. They wanted to receive the gospel, and they did, and they received that message of salvation, and they couldn't wait for the next week. They wanted to hear now, and they would follow. They followed Paul and they followed Barnabas. And when they accepted Christ, that's when Paul encouraged them to continue in the grace of God. And then at the end of chapter 30, there was those who rejected the message. They just rejected it, and they started to stir up others against Paul and Barnabas. Their hearts became infected with this jealousy, because the whole town in Antioch, the whole town came out to hear their message. And the Jews who were from the synagogues came out against them. And I can't remember what the amount was. I think it was like 14 or 15. If you have 14 or 15 male Jews, then you were able to start a synagogue. And so they were kind of all over the place. And so when those Jews in the synagogues saw and heard how the whole city would came out to hear Paul and Barnabas, it just stirred up this jealousy. And so they rejected the message, but they stirred up others against them. So now Paul and Barnabas, we see here in chapter 14, they left Antioch. They traveled 50 miles to Iconium. Now, if you think about 50 miles, that's a lot of walking, right? But they walked all over it back then. So to them, it'd be like us driving in a car. You know, it's just walking. It was very natural and everything. It'll be like leaving here at North Park Christian Fellowship here at Horizon and then walking to San Clemente. That's a good long walk. I don't think I could make it, you know. That's how far it was. It was 50 miles. And so this is where we pick up now. Now they're in Iconium. So look at verse 1. It says, now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews. And so they spoke, and a great multitude, both of the Jews and the Greeks, believed. Now we got to remember that when they came into Iconium in chapter 13, verse 52, listen to what it says. It says, and the disciples, when they were rejected, expelled, it says that the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Very important. Because they were very excited. And when they left Antioch, they came into Iconium, they were they were filled with joy and excitement because of the Holy Spirit. They were excited about everything that they just went through in Antioch, everything that they had experienced. And in verse 48, it tells us why they were excited, because the Gentiles there in Antioch heard it. They heard the gospel, and they were filled with gladness, and they glorified the word of the Lord, and many were appointed to eternal life, believed. I mean, that's great. I get excited when one person accepts the Lord. Don't we get excited? And they were so excited that many accepted the Lord. And the fact that in verse 49, the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. And in verse 50 of chapter 30, they were also excited the fact that the Jews stirred up devout and prominent women and chief men of the city, and they raised up this persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and then they kicked them out from their region. I mean, how do you get excited over that, right? I mean, I don't think I would be excited the fact that, oh, man, they're persecuting me and violently, and now they're kicking me out of, it'd be like if they persecute me here and they kick me out of North Park, so you can't come back. They were excited. You know why they were excited about that? Because they were excited that they were persecuted for the name of Christ. That's why you can be excited over it. Now, if it was because of something I did, then I deserved it. But Jesus said, blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Be happy. That's what the word means, blessed. It means be happy when you are persecuted because of him and because of right doing what's right. You can be excited. So this is the way they came into Iconium. They came in already filled with joy. They came in already excited because many of the Gentiles and the Jews believed in Christ. And after being expelled from Antioch, they had, a lot to be thankful for. Their ministry was doing great. It was being very fruitful, and the Lord was moving through them. So not only did many come to Christ that were at Antioch, but now the same thing is going to happen here in Iconium. And they knew it. It's like, man, if I go out to Hillcrest and I give the gospel, then many start to get saved. And then they kick me out of Hillcrest. And I said, I'm going to walk 50 miles now. I'm going to go all the way to East San Diego over here, where all the gang members are, only because of what happened here. It got me all excited. Now I'm going to get excited, and I'm going to go over here. So I go over there, and the same thing happens over here that happened over there. And so they knew that the Lord was with them. Look at verse 1. It says they went together to the synagogue of the Jews. Now remember, this is their MO. This was their usual practice. The first thing they did is they went into the synagogue, Paul, Barnabas. They would go into a city, they look for a synagogue, and they would go there. Why? Because they knew there would be Jews there. They knew there would be non-Jews there who were seeking God. And the success of their ministry and the success of being fruitful and having an impact there in Iconium and in Antioch and in the synagogue was a fact that what? They were unified in the spirit, in the preaching, and in all their efforts. Now look at verse 1. What do you think the key word there is in verse 1? Somebody tell me, just one word. Don't give me a sermon. Just tell me one word. What is the key word there in verse 1? Together. They were ministering, serving together. That means that they were unified. And why were they together? Why were they ministering together? It came because what? Remember, it was the Holy Spirit of God. It was the Holy Spirit that came and called them out of Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. It was the Holy Spirit who gave them the boldness to minister and to preach the gospel. And then the fact that they served the same Lord, right? Now, listen to this. Paul and Barnabas served the same Lord. They were called to the same field of ministry. They carried the same message, right? The deliverer and the deliverance was a little different, but the message was the same. And because of that, it was all because they were unified. They were together. There was this love of the brethren that they had for each other, so they would encourage and support each other as they were doing the work of the Lord. So that's the calling of God, which should be here in the church. And when I think about that, if we here at Horizon North Park Christian Fellowship, if we were so unified, guess what? People will get saved. They were unified. People got saved. The leadership, I think if we as a leadership, we came together and we served together, if we worked together in the unity of the Spirit, we will realize it has to do for His cause, not our cause. It has nothing to do with us. It's for His cause, and it's for getting the gospel out. And I really believe that when this happens, the Lord's going to start to move in the lives of others. And it's happening now. It's happening now. People are getting saved. Lives are being changed. People are starting to have dreams that God's speaking to them, and lives are getting touched. And remember this, don't be discouraged, because whenever we start to move out and do the work of the Lord, look what happens. Look at verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, and they poisoned their minds against the brethren. So you got to remember, they're there in the synagogue, and you got to remember there's a mixed multitude of Jews there. And even though many of them believed, there still were those there who were there for one reason. And that reason was to stir up and poison the minds of the ones who Paul and Barnabas were trying to reach with the gospel. That's why they were there. Not only they were trying to reach those who they were trying to give the gospel to, but they were also trying to stir up and poison the ones who did believe. So they were trying to take the focus off the work of salvation through Jesus Christ. And they were trying to bring Paul and Barnabas down by what? By how? By sabotaging their ministry through what? Through gossip, through rumors, through their poison opinions, through their criticism. They made false suggestions. They made insinuations, and the whole purpose of that was to excite the people against them by what? By speaking evil against them. No difference in today. I get that today. I get everything I mentioned, I have experienced it. And that's why they were there. Now, notice the word unbelief, unbelieved. There in verse 2. The word unbelief means disobedient. It means that they were unwilling, listen, unwilling to believe or to be persuaded. They deliberately withheld their belief in God, in Christ. Deliberately. I'm not going to accept Jesus, and I'm going to guard my mind. I'm going to guard my heart, my thoughts. I'm going to guard my religion. I'm going to guard myself, and I'm going to guard everybody here from what they have to say about Jesus. They deliberately did it. Disobeying God, withheld their belief. And you can imagine how it is. They're in there, they're preaching the gospel, people are getting saved, and these unbelieving Jews come in, and they start to bring in disorder and start poisoning their minds and bringing confusion, trying to bring disorder. And I think a good example is that. How many soccer fans do we have here? Am I the only one? Okay, we got a few. How many here play soccer? All right. Now, if you ever watch TV or if you watch the news, and you know how other countries love their soccer, like we love football and baseball, other countries love soccer, right? And if you sometimes in the news they'll show videos of other countries in Europe and these major soccer teams coming together, and all of a sudden there's this riot going out, and people are fighting everywhere, and chairs are going all over the place. Well, over there there's a group of individuals who they call hooligans. And the whole purpose for them is they go to soccer games, and their purpose for going is to start these riots against the opposing fans. You see it. That's why this always happened. It's not like You see all these people running and getting in fights, and they're jumping on the field. Now, it's not like this half is for one team, this half is for the other team, and they kind of just go and brawl each other. It's a group of individuals. They go there, and they start the fight. And when they start the fight, obviously, this, if they start a fight with this side, it's gonna just kind of go over, and it's going to affect all the other people. They're called hooligans. Well, that's what those Jews were. They were hooligans. And they were there for that one purpose of trying to bring these false suggestions and insinuations and speaking evil of Paul and Barnabas. And purposely, in their heart, that's what they were doing. And we have people who purposely do that today. They'll purpose in their heart. I remember when we went to, and I probably shared this already, when our first mission journey, we went to Ukraine. And I had a sister there who came, who purposed in her heart to bring division and purpose in her heart to stir up the pastor there who started, we started a church there in Ukraine, and purposed in her heart. She used to say, watch this, I'm gonna get him all stirred up and fired up and get him to just go off. And she purposed in her heart to do that. And I wanted to send her home, but I couldn't send her home. We couldn't just do that. So I had to deal with it. I didn't know how to deal with it because this is our first missions journey ever that we ever went on. So I just purposed in my heart and said, you know what? I'm going to be about the Father's business. And I'm going to just come here. I came here to preach the gospel, came here to seek and spread the gospel, and that's all I'm going to do. And that's all I set my mind on to do. But there's those who purpose in their heart to do this. Now look at verse 3. So when this division came, when in verse 2 it tells us that they stirred up the Gentiles, they poisoned their mind against the brethren. It says in verse 3, when that happened, therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bear witnessing to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done in their hands. Now I love this is why I know that God was with. I know that God ordained this because even though they were up against opposition here, it talks about in verse 2. Guess what? They didn't let down. They didn't tone it down. They didn't compromise their message that they were preaching. They didn't seek to please the officials. They didn't become men pleasers. They knew they were in the Lord's perfect will. They knew they were supposed to be there. That's the way I want to be. I want to, in my walk with God, I want to make sure, God, I know that I'm walking with you. First, in my relationship with Him. You got to know that you are in a relationship with the Lord. If anybody's going to know, you are, right? You're going to know where you stand with God. But the good thing about it is God knows your heart better than you know your heart. I know where I'm at with God. And when I know that I'm not walking with the Lord, I know what I need to do. And I have to do it. But when I'm walking with God, I know it. I know that He's there. And even in the midst of their opposition here, they knew they were in the Lord's perfect will. Because how did they know? Look at verse 3. The Lord confirmed it with the word of His grace. He confirmed it with signs and wonders. And guess what? Jesus confirmed it way back in Mark chapter 16 before he went to the cross. He said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, listen to what he says. I'll read it. He said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, right? Go preach the gospel. He says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And then he goes on in verse 17, he says, and these signs would follow those who believe. In other words, when people get saved, there's going to be a sign. There's going to be signs that are going to follow. You're going to know they're saved. Okay, you're going to know that they are born again. Because why? These signs will follow. Now, here's a few of the signs that will follow. He says, in my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So Paul and Barnabas knew that that what they were doing, they were in God's perfect will. Because why? The signs followed after they were there and they preached the gospel and people were getting saved. All of a sudden, these signs followed. These miracles followed after that. Because why? Jesus confirmed it. God was confirming. Look at verse 3. They were speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bear witnessing to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders, and they were done by their hands. So they had God on their side. You guys know you have God on your side? Amen. Isn't it great to know that? God's on my side. If God's for me, who can be against me? Amen. I have so many people, even non-Christians, who tell me, you're going to China, aren't you scared? What if this happens? What if that happens? You know what's going on over there? Yeah, but I got God on my side. If God's for me, who can be against me? And if I don't worry about him who can hurt the body, I worry about him who can hurt the body and cast the soul into hell. If something happens to me, I'm just going to graduate and go home. You know, I'm just an alien. I'm just passing through. I'm a sojourner. This ain't my citizenship. My citizenship is in heaven. I can show you. I got it in my wallet. It says not USA. It says heaven. And so God was on their side. They knew it. And because of that, they had this boldness. And you know what that means? That means they were confident in the Spirit. They were confident in their demeanor. But where did that source of boldness come from? Look at verse 3. It says they spoke boldly in the Lord. It came from the Lord. That means they totally relied upon and trusted in God. They trusted in his strength, knowing that he's going to see them through. He did it in Antioch. Remember when he was there in Antioch? How many people got saved in Antioch? And then they say, hey, you need to leave. And they kicked him out. So now, hey, let's go over here. Because what God did here, you know, he's going to do it over here too. And so they went to Iconium. And so they trusted in the Lord. They trusted in his strength. They knew that he would be looking after them. He knew they would look after their welfare. But also, not only did they speak boldly in the Lord, look what it says in verse 3, they also, that the Lord gave testimony. Look what it says, who was bear witnessing to the word of his grace. Witness to the word of his grace. In the Greek, this sentence here in the Greek is a sentence, and it means, it's talking about Christ. It's not talking about Paul and Barnabas are the ones who witnessed to the word of his grace. It's talking about Christ. He's the one who was witnessing everything that was going on. It was Jesus who was giving witness. It was Jesus who did the preaching. Jesus just used Paul and Barnabas to get his grace out there into the world. I'm not doing this. It's God doing this through me, or else I wouldn't do it. The worship team, it's God doing it through them. It's the Holy Spirit enabling them. It's Jesus in their hearts to lead us in worship. Otherwise, they would probably be a punk rock band and not a worship band. They would be doing music to the world. So it was Jesus is the one that was getting his word out. He's the one that was witnessing. It wasn't Paul and Barnabas. They were so committed to Christ. They totally surrendered their lives to the Lord. They surrendered their voices to Christ. And he was the one who bare witness to the word of his grace. The Lord granted also signs and wonders to be done by their hand. Look at the bottom of verse 3. It says, not only was the Lord bare witnessing to the word of his grace, Jesus, but he was granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So once again, the signs and the wonders, they're all worked by Christ. And he did it through the hands of who? Paul and Barnabas. But Jesus is the source. The Holy Spirit is the power. The one who ministers and the one who brings the healing. It's God. It's not that man. I wish I had the gift of healing, but it wouldn't be me. I love what he said one time. This always stuck with me. He said they had this healing power service one day, and he was up there in this. This man brought his child down in a wheelchair, and Chuck went over there and prayed and asked God to heal this child. And God healed this child, and he got out of the wheelchair. And the father was amazed, and Chuck told him, hey, why are you so amazed? Don't you believe God can do this? And he said, yes, but I brought him down because I wanted you to pray over his cold. he had a cold. He wasn't bringing him down to pray that he would be out of the wheelchair. And Chuck was obedient to God and prayed over him, and he was healed and from his infirmity of walking. Just goes to show you that it's God who does the healing. It's God the one that does the healing. And the Lord granted these signs and these wonders, but they come from the Lord. So Paul and Barnabas were only used as the instruments and the servants of what? In the hands of the Lord. Now listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this is one of my favorite verses. In verse 10, listen to what Paul says. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, listen to what he says, not I, but the grace of God which is with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, so you believe. I love it. I just want to preach so people can believe, you know. And it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit in me that enables me to do it. It's not you, it's the Spirit in you. It's God working through you. You're the instrument he's using, and you're being obedient. You want to be used by God, right? How many here want to be used by God? Well, get ready then. If you want to be used by God, you will. If you are totally sincere, if you totally want to be used, you will, because God wants to use us as his vessel. And so it was God, and this is the leading that you want to have in your relationship with Christ. This is my relationship that I want to have with Christ. This is what I want to have in my ministry. I want to be able to speak boldly for the Lord. I want him to bear witness of the word of his grace, not only in my life, but in my ministry. I want to be able to, that he would grant signs and wonders to be done by my hand. That would be awesome. And, you know, when I think of that, you know, I would love to be able to go down and part the bay, Shelter Island. Wouldn't that be great? I think I'll walk over to North Island from Shelter Island by Humphreys. Lord, part the bay. Can you imagine if a part and I just walked over and went over and had lunch with RJ? Because he works over there. I would love to do that. But I'm doing signs and wonders in practical ways in my life. Things that I know I can't handle, guess what? I'm handling them. People that I'm around, guess what? I'm loving them. I have a heart where I'm giving to people. Normally I wouldn't do that. Those are signs and wonders that what? God is with me. The biggest miracle of all is a changed life. You're here. Of all the places. Being here, you could be somewhere else. You're here. Why? Because God is bearing witness with you. He's confirming that he's with you. I want that type of relationship with God. And look at verse 14. So after Paul, you know, God was bearing witnessing with him, and God was blessing him. In verse 4, it says, but the multitudes of the city was divided, and they parted, sided with the Jews, and sided with the apostle. Now, verse 4 here is the results of those unbelieving Jews who were poisoning the mind and they were stirring up the people. That's why you got to be careful, people. Be careful what you say about God's leadership. Be careful what you say about the church. Be careful what you say about God. Because you can cause division. You have to be careful. Now, there's a brother that we're talking about being a hypocrite. He believed that, he says, I'm a hypocrite, you're a hypocrite, we're all hypocrites. I says, I'm not a hypocrite. You might be a hypocrite, I'm not. You know what a hypocrite is? A play actor. So what you're saying is that you're a Christian, but you're acting, you're a play actor, you're just acting the part? No, that's not what he meant, but that's how I received it. Jesus said a hypocrite is do what I say, but don't do what I do. Hey, I'll be a hypocrite if I came up here. You guys got to live a right life. Don't watch me. It's okay for me to do it, but you can't do it. Do what I say. Don't do what I do. Well, that'd be a hypocrite. I'm a sinner. We're sinners. We're not perfect. We blow it every day. Again, I blew it up today, this morning, coming to church because this guy was going 40 miles in the middle lane. And there's traffic. There's a little bit of traffic, and I came behind him. And so I was thinking, okay, pull over. You're going under 50 miles an hour. You should be going at least 50 or 55. And so I said, okay, no problem. So I went in the fast lane, and I go forward, and I come back this way. And then he decides to go in the fast lane. And I know he did it purposely. And I thought, Lord, again, that could be my son. That could be my daughter. That's how I conquer this. When I get this way, I pretend, I think about that's my daughter in there, that's my son in there, that's my grandson now who drives in there, and I wouldn't want anybody to do that to them, so I back off. It works for me. Just try it if you have that type of problem. You know, and so this, the multitudes, the city being divided and part sided with the Jews and part sided with the apostles, the results of the unbelieving Jews who were poisoning the mind, and they were stirring up the people. And so Iconium became divided. Now this sentence here, the Greek meaning where it says part with, you know what that means? That means to associate with. It means companionship. It means resemblance. So some of them were resembling and associating with the unbelieving Jews, and some were resembling and associating with Paul and Barnabas. Now, I think this is what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, he says, you can't serve two masters, okay? Because you're going to either hate one or you're going to love another, or else you will be loyal to the one and you will despise the others. Now, in context, he's talking about serving God and mammoth, you know, material things and money. You can't do both. They can't be your God. But I believe this to be in anything. This verse here, you know, you can't serve two masters. And so what we got here is people citing, they're resembling the unbelieving Jews. They're resembling the ones who are saying, hey, guard your hearts, guard your minds from this man, Jesus. Guard it from this man, Paul. Guard it from this man, Barnabas. Guard your heart there. Put something in there like this, like a wall, so that when the words come, you can't see it. Some of my cough drop came out. And you can't see it. Guard your heart. Well, people, be careful because the world's doing that. And you know what? You're going to end up resembling it. You're either going to resemble the things of God or you're going to resemble the things of the world. Some parted with the unbelieving Jews and we're on the side of Paul and Barnabas. And I think that's what Jesus meant. You can't serve two masters. And I believe you are who you hang around with. Well, who are you hanging around with? Because that's who you are, who you hang around with. Now, how many pastors? Raise your hand if you're a pastor. I just want to see who's, you know, if there's any other pastors here that I don't know about. Maybe you pay to have that done. Yeah, okay. Lorraine got ordained. Okay. Now, how many here are in leadership? Raise your hand if you're in leadership. Now, when I mean leadership, I just don't mean a leader of a ministry. I mean involved. How many here are involved? Okay, kind of keep your hands up. Okay, I want you to keep your hands up. Now, everybody kind of look around at all the hands up. Okay, now, reason why. Because if you're a pastor, if you're in leadership, if you're just, how many Christians are here? Raise your hand. Okay. If you're a Christian, okay, I know you would agree with me that you can expect divided opinions. Okay? You can expect that when you're a leader, even as a Christian. I expect divided opinions every time I teach the Word of God. I expect it, and I'm able to accept that there are going to be some who will not support me. I already expect that because I already seen it in the beginning of the ministry 5 years ago when I first came on and started this, took over the ministry. I already saw it. I expected that there will be some who will have divided opinions of me. There'll be some who will not support me. And there will be those who will support me. It's to be expected. Everyone in ministry, you got to expect that. There's going to be some who aren't going to agree with you. There's going to be some who might not even like you, unfortunately. Those are the ones that leave. And they leave and they don't tell me. Everybody who left here, there's many who left. They didn't come to me and tell me they were leaving. They just disappeared. And I'd say, hey, you know, if it's okay to leave. I want to pray for you. I want to give you our blessing. If I was to leave, I would want to come up here and have the pastors and elders pray over, lay hands on me, pray over me. I want God's blessing. I want people to know that I left here on good terms. I want people to know that I left here because God was calling me out. I don't want to leave because of divided opinions. I don't want to leave because I am not supporting that pastor. I'm not supporting that church. I don't agree. But guess what? It's to be expected. Now, I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been in the ministry. There's not one teacher, there's not one pastor that has ever been accepted by all the people. Not one. You can't name one. And if you are, or if you can name one, then they're probably better than Jesus, because even Jesus wasn't accepted by everybody. And if Jesus wasn't accepted by everybody, how can you sit there and say, I am? It's to be expected. Paul and Barnabas knew it, that there'll be those who are going to side with the Jews. There's going to be those non-believing Jews and those believing Jews. It's to be expected. But the only thing we can do, the only thing those who have divided opinions against me, those who don't support me, those who leave or whatever, the only thing I can do as a teacher of the Word of God, the only thing that you can do as a Christian, those of you who are in leadership, the only thing you can do if you want to have a great impact on the lives of others, the best thing you can do is just surrender everything to Christ. Be sold out of Jesus, that's all. Allow yourself to what? Be His instrument. Allow yourself to be His voice. Just deliver His message. And if you do that, guess what? The whole city is going to come out to hear it. Just like Paul and Barnabas, it says that the whole city came out to hear them. And that's why these unbelieving Jews were mad. And they expelled them from Antioch. And if you just deliver His message, not your own, His message, they're going to come out and they're going to hear, and they're going to hear about Christ. And guess what? They will be affected by the message that you are proclaiming. And they're going to say, hey, I'll come again next week, because I have people, hey, I'll be here next week. They'll say, hey, I want to accept Christ. I want to get involved. Or they're going to say, you know what? I'm going to poison my heart here. I don't want nothing. I don't want it. Those are the three responses to the gospel. And just like Paul, we need to commit ourselves to what? To studying the Word of God. This is why he was effective. This is why Paul had an effective ministry. Why? Because he committed himself to studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he said, hey, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, people. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed before God. I don't want to be ashamed of God. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, when you stand before my Father, when you stand before me, stand before the Holy Spirit, when you stand before the whole body of Christ, all the angels, all the animals up there, when you stand, I will be ashamed of you. Man, I don't want to go to heaven. And Jesus said, Jesus. You know? I don't want him to be ashamed of me. Paul told Timothy, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Why? Because he's rightly dividing the word of truth. He's studying the word of God. He's praying the word of God. He's reading the word of God. And then Paul also was committed to what? To prayer. Prayer is important, guys. Prayer is so important. You don't know how important that is. Prayer is like what air is to breathing. If you don't have any air, how are you going to breathe? Well, that's what prayer is to us. It's like air to breathing. We got to have it. Paul was committed to prayer. This is why he was successful. In fact, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I haven't heard anybody talk about the armor of God lately. I'm going to read this. It's not the verse 19 is the verse that I want to point out, or 18 in prayer. But I'm going to read the armor of God, because this is something we need to do every morning. Every morning you should be praying the armor of God, getting dressed. Listen to what Paul said. He said, "Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And here's the key: praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Be watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication. What? For all the saints. See, Paul was committed to prayer. We need to be committed. Paul was committed to what? Sharing the word of God. He was committed to giving the gospel out, sharing it with others, reading it, and not just hoarding it, but giving it to people, giving it to your loved ones. 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 2, Paul said, "Preach the word, guys. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heat up for themselves teachers, but they will turn their ears away from the truth, but be turned aside to fables." Here's the key: "But you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, and do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry." Paul was committed to preaching the gospel. And if you witness, in fact, witness at all times, and if need be, use words. Okay? You should be witnessing at all times. That's what creation is doing. The Bible says creation is witness. Creation is the only one who's witnessing all 24 hours, all day long. Creation. Paul was also, almost done here, was committed to what? Being discipled by Christ. But he was also committed to making disciples. I'm excited that we're going to have a class where we're going to be discipling. And it's not going to just be new believers type discipling, but it's going to go even deeper. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul said, "Therefore, my son," he told Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you heard from me among many witnesses," he says, "commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Disciple. If you have not been discipled, you got to get involved. If you're not involved in the ministry, there's men, women, home fellowship, there's the different ministries. Go to a ministry. Get disciple. Paul was committed to that. He was committed to going out there and discipling others. I'm excited because my grandson, Stevie, he's 16. He says, "Papi," that's what he calls me, "Papi." He says, "I want to be discipled." Wow, took me back. Yeah, all right. He says, "Yeah, I want to go deeper in the Word of God. I want to know God." And I said, "Right on." And so I'm excited about that. We met, and I have two books. You know, the first basic book, and then there's a thick book of what the Bible teaches about God. It's about this thick by R.E. Torrey. This is the basics is about that thing. So I show him these two books. I said, "What are you going to do when you get out of high school?" He says, "I'm going to go to college." "Which college?" He says, I don't know which college. No, that's not what I'm saying. Think, which college? He says, oh, a community college. Exactly. I said, it looked like this. I said, this, and when you go to a community college, what's the purpose of going to community college? He says, so I can go to a university? I said, exactly. I said, this is your community college. This is your university. Which one do you live all day long? This. The basics. Assurance of salvation, the word, prayer, fellowship. Those are the basics. I said, if you do not have this, this ain't going to do no good for you. This has to be, because he said, hey, I already know all this. Why can't we just do this? I said, everything you think you know, everything that you know at this point means nothing. I said, you're going to do this as though it's the very first time. And you're going to take this in your life because this is what you live. And this is what you're going to build. This has to, if you don't have this, this won't stand. And so I'm very excited about discipling him. Where he's excited and he's going to, I said, when you get done with this, then when we get to this point, then you can debate. Because he's always saying, why? Why? And I give him an answer, why? And I have to keep giving him an answer. But Paul was committed. Now listen, this is why Paul was so successful in his ministry everywhere he was. Now notice I said was, not where he went. Because the highest calling is wherever you are, guys. It's not coming into the ministry and the church, being involved in the ministry. The highest calling is wherever you are, whether it's here, over there, whether it's at the park, wherever it is, that's the highest calling. And Paul was committed to all that God called him to do. He was committed to the qualifications and the duties of a minister. He was committed to the calling of being a Christian. And that's why God was able to use him so dynamically, because he was committed. And so we need to be committed. And I'm going to have to stop here because I'm going over 5 minutes, or according to this. But I don't know what the real time is. Let me see. Oh, 10 minutes. See, over here it's less. So I can't be watching that clock. But we'll stop here, and we'll pick up next week and continue to look at the success of Paul and why God blessed him. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you that you desire us to be committed. You want to commit yourself to us. You actually did commit yourself to us in dying on the cross, and now we want to turn and commit ourselves to you. Lord, help us to be like Paul, or have that desire to study your word. Have that desire to make disciples. Have that desire to pray. Have a desire to be a witness, Lord. We want to be committed. That's why he was very successful, because he was totally sold out to you. And when that opposition came, when those unbelieving Jews stirred up and poisoned hearts, he just saw, as we're going to see next week, he didn't see obstacles, he saw opportunity. May you open our eyes, not to obstacles, but to opportunities and to being committed to you, Lord. Bless us. Bless this day. Lord, I pray for everybody here that they will see the opportunity to be committed to coming here tonight to pray for our brother in Iran in prison. So we can, the power, I believe there's power in prayer. Jesus said, two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. The more people praying, the more people lifting up, the more it's going to go to your ears, Lord. And so let us be committed to that, Lord. That is what we need. And we thank you, Father. We give you all the glory and the honor. And we thank you for our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.